Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, today is kind of a follow-up to a previous podcast we did a couple of days ago where we talked about some questions that people raise about government and politics. And so first, let me summarize list the four questions that we answered the last time we were together. Those four questions were, should Christians identify as Republican or Democrat or, you know, pick your other smaller party, independent, Green Party, whatever. Should Christians identify as a Republican or Democrat? And we talked about Christians identifying as our highest identity as the party of the Lamb of God. And we can be members of these other parties, and maybe we should be, to be able to be effective citizens. But that our identity should not be as Republican or Democrat in this sense, that the idea that I'm a Republican or Democrat should not come anywhere close to the importance in my life of the fact that I'm of the party of the Lamb of God. And then we talked about a question, what does God have to say about government? We looked into some scripture about what God says about the role of government in our lives. We asked the question, should the church be involved in politics? And we took a look at some Old Testament and New Testament figures and concluded that the church should be involved in politics, and really were specific in terms of what that involvement certainly should include, and that is to be a prophetic voice of moral clarity in the culture. And then finally, how do I deal with a bad or an evil leader being elected? And again, we looked into Old Testament and New Testament accounts to see there that God is the one who raises up leaders, and sometimes God raises up leaders to punish, to destroy. And so while I never would pray for that, certainly want to experience, I don't know about you, but I like to have an easy life. But nevertheless, that doesn't always happen here on earth because this world is full of sin. So those are the questions we dealt with. Go back and listen to that previous podcast if you didn't have a chance to listen to it. Today, I got a couple more questions. And what we're really doing today, I'm releasing this on Friday, the 27th of September. So I'm going to preview a couple of things from the sermon this coming Sunday. If you're part of Christ Lincoln, some of this is going to sound familiar on Sunday, but a lot of it won't. We're not going to go through everything that we're going to do on Sunday and vice versa. And then I will add this, that in upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk about the issues that we face here in Nebraska on the ballot, specifically the issues rather than the personalities who are running for election. So that'll be one upcoming podcast. Then we'll have another podcast where we talk about the issues that we face nationally and encourage you to do your homework on where the candidates stand, but nevertheless talk about some of those issues from a biblical perspective that we face nationally. So that's another podcast coming up. So, and the reason we're doing all these podcasts on politics and government right now is because early voting starts on October the 7th here in Nebraska. So some of you will already be mailing in your ballots on October the 7th. We want to be able to get ahead of that a little bit for you. All right, so first question for today that we're going to deal with is a question that you may or may not have thought of. Some people really wrestle with this, others don't. And that is that Jesus, in his life, did not try to change the Roman Empire. Okay, so what does that mean for us? What's the implications there for us? So let me kind of set this up because some Christians have not asked this question, others have. We're followers of Jesus, right? At least that's my presumption as you're listening to this podcast. This podcast is being made for Christians specifically. So we're followers of Jesus, and I want to do what Jesus did. I want to become like Jesus. And so as we talk politics, Jesus never said one word against the emperor of Rome that I'm aware of, at least recorded in Scripture. He never said one word advocating for a democracy, for Rome to become a republic again, for the benefits of having a kingship or dictator or the lack thereof. He never spoke against any Roman law that I'm aware of. He never condemned many of the terrible ethical practices of The Roman emperor, or any Roman governor, Roman citizen for that matter, he was completely quiet in that regard. So if that was Jesus' stance with regard to the government of his day, maybe we should have the same stance as followers of Jesus today and be completely apolitical. And many Christians would say amen to that. You know, politics is a dirty business. The Amish, for instance, pretty much they try to remove themselves from this world as much as possible. And so they pretty much stay away from politics unless there's some issue on the ballot that has a direct effect on them. And then they'll come out to vote. Other Christians, and I would put myself in this camp, note this, that Jesus lived at the time of the Roman Empire. We need to remember that. Almost no one outside of the Roman Senate or anybody close to the emperor could have any influence on the politics of the day. Jesus did not have the opportunity we have. We live in a republic, not a democracy, by the way. That's another podcast. But we live in a republic, and so we have opportunities afforded for us today that Jesus never had in his day. We have the opportunity to vote. We have the opportunity to run for office. We have the opportunity to contact our representatives, make our voices heard, protest, and so forth, write letters, editorials in the newspapers, and so forth. Jesus never had those opportunities, and so maybe that's why we find him silent on those areas of life. If Jesus, so this train of thought goes, if Jesus had lived in 21st century America, he would have certainly tried to influence public policy in a variety of ways because he talked about being salt and light in the culture. And if the salt has lost its saltiness, it's useless. And so too with us. So that's kind of my sense of that question. And that would be my answer to it, if you will. Another question that might come to your mind as you think about government and politics is, how do I vote if I can't stand any of the candidates? I know that rarely happens where you can't stand any of the candidates. I'm being facetious, all right? But when you can't stand any of the candidates, when you believe that both candidates maybe are bad, both candidates won't be helpful, what do I do as a Christian? Do I not vote, some have said, and that way I don't get my hands dirty in that process, and whichever one wins, I can say with a clear conscience, I did not put them there because I didn't vote. So I'm not responsible for what's happening. Do I boycott the election as a protest against both candidates? A pox on both your houses kind of attitude. Well, I suppose a person could take that view. My sense of it is that there's always, well, hopefully always, one candidate that is less evil than another, one candidate that might do less harm than another. And so our stance as Christians should be to look at the candidates we have. If we don't like either one, if we can't stand either one, presuming there's two running major candidates, typically there are, if I can't stand either one, then to say which one will cause less evil in the world, which one will bring about less evil for the people of our country, of our, depending on what office they're running from, less evil for our state, less evil for our community, less evil for the world. Which one would be less evil and vote for that person? In so doing, I get my hands dirty. I voted them into office. But on the other hand, I stopped someone who was of a greater evil potentially from going into office. Now, of course, we can't see into the future. We can't know for sure how all this is going to turn out, but we have to use our minds in this process. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And so we use our minds, I would encourage, and vote even though we can't perhaps in some elections stand either candidate. In that regard, another question is, am I voting for a person when I go into the, fill out my ballot, whether you do it at home and mail it in, or whether you go into the voting booth or wherever you do it? Am I voting for a person, or am I voting for a party or a policy? And I would suggest that we do better to think of this as voting for a policy or a party rather than voting for a person. Because the person, of course, has great power when elected into office to be able to make decisions. But a person also surrounds themselves, particularly the higher you go in government. The president, for instance, surrounds him or herself with thousands of other governmental employees that put into practice, implement the leader's desires, the leader's policies, and oftentimes work even against the leader to put their own policies in place. So who will that person, and let's say the president, who will a president put around them who will implement the policies that they believe in? And that is perhaps even more important than who the individual is that we're electing. And so, for instance, right now, many are saying, I'll not comment on this, but many are saying that President Biden is really not functioning well as the president of our country. Back in the day, the most notorious president for this, I believe, was President Woodrow Wilson, who for the last year of his term basically did not function as president. Nevertheless, the government continued to move on as if nothing had happened. Why? Because there's thousands of other people around the president who continue to implement the policies that this president runs on. So there are, even if President Biden is or is not functioning as president at the moment, there's thousands of other people who have been put into place by him and his administration to be able to implement his policies. So we're really voting for policies, and I would encourage us to really consider the policies of the person far more important than we consider the actual person themselves. But in that regard, we are electing a person. And so I'll ask this question. Does the personal life of a leader matter? This question really came to the forefront, at least in my lifetime, during the presidency of President Bill Clinton. Does the personal life of a leader matter? And I remember back then believing that, yes, it matters far more than anything else, because whatever his personal life is will come out in his public life, and really being concerned about his personal private life at that time. Let me go through this, and you can judge at the end of it whether you think I was right or wrong, or partly right or partly wrong, back during the days of President Clinton. Here we go. Does the personal life of a leader matter? A couple angles on this. First of all, I love this quote from John Jay, who was the first Chief Justice of our Supreme Court. Our local high school in New York where we live was named after John Jay. Many of you may not have heard of John Jay, but I have because I lived, the high school was named after him. But he was the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, and this is what he said, quote, "Providence has given our people the choice of their ruler, and it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers," unquote. Wow. Now, you may agree or disagree with that quote, but it is what our first Chief Justice said. And he was there at the founding. Very interesting, I think. It is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. And by Christians, in that quote, he meant not only people who claim the name of Jesus, but people who live out the name of Jesus, whose lives by and large reflect Jesus. Why did he say that? Well, when people have great power, but they do not have humility, when they don't have the servant heart, when they don't realize that they are responsible to God for their actions, then you're just asking for trouble. That's why John Jay said that. On the other hand, another angle to this question, does the personal life of a leader matter? If I need open heart surgery, would I prefer one of two choices, a great surgeon who is a rascal and a narcissist in her personal life, or would I prefer a mediocre surgeon who is a strong believer in Jesus? I don't know about you, but I'd prefer the strong surgeon, the great surgeon, no matter what their private life is. I'd rather have a strong Christian who could pray with me before surgery who is a great surgeon. But if that person, that combination of traits is not available, and I'm having heart surgery, I would rather have a rascal who is a great surgeon. And I'll do the praying and let her do the surgery. How's that? Does the personal life of a leader matter? What do you think? Well, let's leave John Jay and let's leave my musings behind. And let's look into the scriptures at two examples of leaders and how God dealt with them differently. See if we can pick it apart. Both Old Testament leaders, King David, I think we mentioned David in the last podcast, 1,000 years before Jesus. David was the ideal king against which every other king in Scripture was measured. He's called a man after God's own heart in the Bible. It's pretty high praise. On the other hand, David was married to multiple women at the same time. I don't know if I'd elect that guy for president. What's more, there's that famous story of him seeing this beautiful young woman, aptly named Bathsheba, taking a bath in a hot tub. I found a picture, but I don't want to put it here on the podcast on YouTube. It might be taken down. Might not make it onto YouTube. Anyway, you can guess what happens. Even though David's married to multiple wives, he figures he needs Bathsheba too. And one thing leads to another, and he winds up wanting her so much that he has her husband murdered in order to get her. Just the sort of guy I'd want to vote for president. How about you? Guess what? What does God do with this king? God deposes David. He deposes David. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You Bible scholars don't remember that happening? Well, that's because it didn't happen. So then, does the personal life of a leader matter? We said before, it does. But then again, God didn't depose David. I would have deposed David. I would have voted him out of office. But God didn't. What do you think? On the other hand, there's this King Ahab. The Bible says about King Ahab, Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. The Bible says there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. And at some point, apparently, God had enough of Ahab. We read in 1 Kings 22 about Ahab's death. Ahab was in a battle and someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. And the king, Ahab, told his chariot driver, "Wheel around and get me out of the fighting, I'm wounded." And all day long the battle raged. The king was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran onto the floor of his chariot, and that evening he died. 1 Kings 22, verses 34 and 35. And then it gets even more graphic, which we don't need to get into. But the point is, God had enough. And while God left David as ruler, he removed Ahab from the throne. Does the personal life of a leader matter? In David's case, he was a sinner and had very, very significant sins in his private life. But his public position always led people to a position of faithfulness and worship of God. In spite of his personal sins, which were grievous, it seems that he had this sense of humility in his public office, this sense of knowledge that he was responsible to God for his leadership. In Ahab's case, on the other hand, you could say Ahab was a worse sinner. The Bible says that. But the key is, to me, it seems, is that he led his people into wickedness, that he lost the fact, the knowledge in his mind, that he was responsible to God for his leadership. So I think that's significant. He led his people into wickedness. So might we say that his private life was a mess, but also his public policies were bad and wicked? And I think there's a key there. Public policies matter, which takes us back to what I said about we're really voting for policies over people. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. It will be important for us in the next couple of podcasts to really deal with some of the policies, some of the issues that are faced locally here in Nebraska. Since I'm doing the podcast in Nebraska, you'll face, I'm sure if you're listening to this in other states, similar issues in your states. But what does the Bible say about these issues? What policies would the Bible advocate potentially for these issues? So that'll be one podcast coming up, and then we'll do another one on the things that we face, the issues we face nationally today, which may be different than 50 years ago. It might be different than 50 years in the future. But what does God's word say about some of the issues that we face today, and what are the policies that the Bible might advocate that we need to have in place? And then it'll be up to you. Well, I'll give you some hints, but it'll be up to you to investigate where those people running for election stand on these issues and these policies. All right, that's what we got for you today. I want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this podcast, what other questions you might have, what issues you'd like us to talk about that are being faced either here in Nebraska or nationally, and we'll get to those in the next podcast or two. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.